There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a
Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
The ace is on the case.
Zimmer told me offensive and defensively, he felt like his team just needed to settle down. For the offense, he felt like they saw.
I came to enjoy a wrestler. And they accused me of stealing a bag of peanuts.
I have my own two recliners.
You have two recliners?
Yeah.
Wow, this is famous.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. There's no mail today. Any kind of George H.W. Bush. And there's no, what else there, Danny? The stock market's closed.
If you happen to be a non-essential federal employee, please stay home today. By all means, take the day.
Like, what are you supposed to do with the day off?
Mourn.
Don't go to the post office.
Yep.
God bless you. National day of mourning. Yeah, if I'm in the post office, well.
No, the office is, the post office, you know, will be closed.
Right. So if I, but am I happy if I work for the post office, or am I pissed because it's just going to stack more things up?
Wait till tomorrow, yes. There are certain package deliveries that will be done, but general mail will not be delivered today.
And so that is to, the idea is, in all seriousness, that you want us to sit around and spend the day remembering George H.W. Bush.
Correct.
Full 24 hours
mm-hmm.
of introspection of the man H.W. Bush seems like a reasonable idea, because Lord knows, you know, mail is a big highlight of my day. I think I've discussed this before.
No, I don't remember this conversation.
It goes back to when I could not pay bills. And so, like, now, like, when bills come, I'm like, I put my thumbs underneath my armpits, and I'm like, well, I can pay this bad boy. And so I get very excited when the mail comes. Who knows what treasures are in store, especially with the all the Christmas cards. And then you get into a thing where people start texting you with their addresses, asking for your address, and then immediately you have to reciprocate.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's just taking from one and giving to another. So that's the whole thing going on over there. By the way, we're on Twitch this morning. You can visit twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub and watch the show live. Adam Jones is in for Rich, and Rich is doing his civic duty. He is over there. At some point today, he will be in jury duty.
Huh. We sure the courthouse is open?
That's what I was going to say. So the judges don't have to remember HW, but the postal workers do.
Will you Google and see?
Absolutely.
Let's go
to the courthouse in
Brighton.
Brighton? Okay.
Yeah, he said it was in Brighton.
Yes.
It's something in Brighton. Oh, yeah, are the courthouses open today?
That's a very good point. We'll look into that.
What if they're not?
He's home sleeping. Take the day.
And then that would mean that he would have to do it tomorrow?
I don't think so. No, I think they schedule out. So your day of jury duty is today.
Okay.
Whether or not you get selected. So they might just put you back in the pool and say, okay, we'll see you in a couple,
all right. Someone Google to see if the courthouses are open today, because that would be good for him if they're not. Oh. I mean, good for him. He gets some sleep.
What kind of luck is that?
And so yesterday, of course, all I did was walk around the house going, Mark Jamelio, it's like a dream.
Wow, this is famous.
Yeah. Oh, you could fit four recliners in here. But the real star of that thing, now, if you don't, we're not going to replay it. Don't worry. It's an hour. But yesterday, Mark Jamelli, Nick's dad, and from now on, we're going to call Nick Mark Jamelli's son. Nick's dad went out, and he loves recliners. He had three recliners, so we had him go out to Bernie and Phil's and get a new recliner. He could have his whole shot at him, whatever he wanted. He took a limo there. But while he had his friends in, waiting for, they were in the lobby waiting for the limo to show up, Nick says to his friend Anthony, he goes, you know, my dad's getting another recliner. He goes, yeah, I have two recliners.
I have my own two recliners.
You have two recliners.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it, you know. And then Mr. Jamelli had to borrow socks from Anthony. Anthony, socks. Yeah, I got two recliners, a bunch of socks. Don't worry about it. You know, some people put all their money in a bunch of recliners. Me, I buy socks. I give them to the old man. Don't worry about it. So Anthony became my favorite, just walking around going, yeah, I got two recliners. What do you want of it? I mean, if you want to talk about recliners, I got recliners. I mean, if you want to talk about how good they are, they're good. Me, I sit on them. I sleep on them. I mean, what do you want out of me?
That's his buddy?
Yeah,
or is it like an adversarial relationship? Like, oh, I got two recliners. It's kind of like a peeing contest. Now.
Well, I think that at some point, I mean, one doesn't want to be disrespected. I mean, you go to see the limousine, and you know, at that point, you know, you don't want to be showed up. I mean, you're saying, all right, let's see what's going on here.
Yeah, I've seen a limo before.
Yeah,
I got two recliners.
I'm cultured. Exactly. Like, and if someone says like I'm getting a recliner, I go, yeah, I got two recliners. I mean, come on, please, you know.
Yeah, like a formal recliner and like more casual recliner, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and so I just picture, you know, Andy going, hey, let's pick up another recliner. And then, like we said yesterday, they were taking him back of Bernie and Phil's, and they go through the warehouse, and they're shaking hands with the warehouse workers, and they come in.
Oh, that's the guy with two recliners.
Yeah,
oh,
just like a one shot behind him. They're, oh, yeah! And then they just around the recliner, waiting for him to sit down. But Anthony was the guy who could not get out of my head yesterday.
The best part of that was they're on the way up to Bernie and Phil's in a limo, and Nick's father is pointing out, hey, look, there's the Kowloon.
Calhoun.
That's Calhoun.
Sorry.
It was like a guy who just regained his sight.
Land on the moon.
Like a child out for the first time.
Yeah,
like,
oh, wow. Will you look at that? Kelly's roast beef. Kelly's roast beef.
Hooters.
Hooters. Wow. Look at that double entendre, boobies and owls.
Bird, my other son.
Hey. That's right.
Bird showed up. Sure.
Yeah, and I saw a picture of Mr. Jamelli, and it did not take away a thing.
It is glorious.
Because he's in a recliner at the time. And it's funny, people were like, oh, well, you're taking some guy to get a recliner. I have no time for you. If you didn't get the recliner thing, I got no time for you. There's no explaining it to you. You're too dim. There's no explaining to you. A man whose passion is recliners.
Oh, Bird, you're so much better than Nicholas. You live at home like a good boy. Oh, you're over there in Everett. I love it.
So hopefully you can catch that. That's up there on Twitch, as we are every morning. You say, why Twitch? Well, this is how a lot of people are consuming media. Also, when you watch us on Twitch, unlike television, it counts for our radio ratings.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, so this is the big thing, Mr. Jones.
That's nice.
This is the big thing. And apparently you can put it up on Apple TV. You can watch it on your television.
Get screenshots tweeted to me of people watching in their living room. People are doing this.
Yeah, and if my parents ever could, I won't even begin to try to explain it to them.
Your mother has trouble with so many other things. Why burden her with this?
Oh, yeah. She's already in a state about Christmas. And by the way, she has people come over to put up the trees, and she's still in a state about it.
Putting up the tree is a problem.
Well, she has people do it.
Okay.
She has people because it's a big tree. Like, it's a fake tree, but she has like people come over and decorate it and put it up.
Hanging ornaments is a problem.
Well, I mean, it's like, what do you got there? Like a 8-9 foot tree?
Mm-hmm.
So she can't do it. 76-year-old woman, John.
I understand.
How dare you?
Yep. Real disrespectful.
I mean, that is disrespectful. My bad. It absolutely is. Well, Mike Gorman is going to be on the show today. He's going to be on at 7:20. He's got some big speech at the New World Trade Center in New York that he's doing in the 8
I think it's here in Boston, Fred. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you said it was in New York, jackass.
I know. I was equating Mike with New York, and I think it's here. Sorry.
All right. Well, so he's got some big speeches. It's some big to-do.
Can I give you an update on Bird called the juror hotline?
Yeah.
Oh.
It didn't give an update, but just looking online, it's mostly executive and national things. So, like, the U.S. Supreme Court's not hearing arguments. Postal Service is closed. The only two states that are closing offices are the state of Maine, because of the time that Bush spent there. They call him Maine's president.
And then Texas?
The state of Texas.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Rich could have gotten away with one. He could have definitely gotten away with one. And then also Will Brinson is going to join us at 8 o'clock. We are going to attempt something that most likely won't go well.
The idea was pretty good when you pitched it yesterday, I thought.
I didn't pitch it. It was a Hail Mary by Rich at the end of the meeting. Manny, go ahead.
Hey, Steak and Eggs, guys. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, Fred, that bit yesterday with Machiavelli, it was pretty good. The guy comes across as definitely a genuine human being. And you guys, I mean, that was really nice of you guys to do that. And on another note, Fred, I just wanted to say, on YouTube last night, I came across an old bit you and Rich did with Tommy Heinsohn talking about that guy in the shower. I'm still laughing this morning. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, he said that Aaron Baines. Yeah. Aaron Baines looked like all of Australia. I saw that guy, and I just happened by him in the shower. And he looked like all of Australia. Oh, the size of that guy.
Gave him a good towel snap.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, a little, you couldn't pinch an inch on that.
He looks like all of Australia.
Yep. All right, we will be back. We'll catch you up with everything that happened last night, including the Bruins were a disaster.
Quality, comfort, and price, that's nice.
The Sports Hub.
It's Touchman Rich.
985 The Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich, no matter what time of day it is. Two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos. Participation may vary. Last night, the Bruins sucked. They lost 5-0 to Florida. And here is a fella making it 5-0.
Bar hacks. Now Barca twists around for Huberto. Wrister deflected. Halak pad save. Rebound in front. Fired. They score. And it's Dadonov who roofs it by the fallen Halak via the power play. 5-0 Panthers.
Yeah, so there you go. That was a completely awful game. If you sat through the whole thing, if you watched the third period, God bless you.
Thank you.
You watched the third period?
I don't know why. I really sat there thinking, why am I watching this game?
The whole third period?
I watched the entire third period. I don't know why. It was a dumbass thing to do, and I did it anyway. And they were out of the game, what, 12 minutes in? After Halak started stopped saving them. You know, there was one play. One of the defensemen made a rush up the right-hand boards, beat two guys, and, you know, beat Halak under his armpit, and that was probably the end of it. That made it 2-0. And I still watched it, and it was mindless, and I was sitting there, oddly enough, in a recliner in my bedroom, and I don't know why.
You have a recliner in your bedroom?
I do.
How many do you sleep in it? How many do you own?
No, we only own one recliner. It was for my wife when she was pregnant, so that was the reason we bought the recliner in the first place, and it's still there.
And so,
I have my own two recliners.
Yeah, I have one recliner in the house. I do. And it's in my bedroom.
And so your wife will be in bed and you'll be in the recliner?
That's happened before, yes.
And now you will sleep in the recliner?
No, I can't. You see, I don't understand the whole sleeping in the recliner thing. I can't do it.
You won't doze off?
Oh, I'll doze off, but it's only for like 20 minutes. But Mark Gemelli sleeps in the recliner. I can't do that. I'll get like a cat nap or something, sure, but not like a full 8 hours.
So no. You've gotten to the age where you can just fall asleep? Like just yes. Sitting there?
Yes, I can.
Well, unless there's a riveting third period like the Bruins last night.
Yeah, right? I'll wake up and I'll pay rapt attention to that.
He's locked in.
All right, because you know you realize that pretty soon you're going to be the guy at Thanksgiving that's asleep on the couch.
I wish.
Like during things.
When you work, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. When you work these hours, you get sleep where you can find it. If I can fall asleep in a recliner, great. If I can do it for more than 20 minutes, even better.
All right. Well, the to make things somewhat interesting, the guys that used to do the games for Florida. Now, Florida, we were talking about this off air with Mr. Jones here, is that I decided one time my father used to have a place that was terrible in Aventura, which I would suggest no one ever go to in their entire life. Aventura is like a sea of skyscrapers and dumps, and just it's like all around a mall.
There's one. I was just going to say, there's that one mall that everyone goes to. I've been to this place. I know right. Exactly what you're talking about.
And there's consistently, and it's not exaggerating, at least three ambulances in front of these high rises at all times.
Just waiting.
No, they're getting people that are dying.
No, I understand that, but that it's a high volume area is my point.
Well, the place that my father-in-law lived, he had bought for his mother, and they built a pool there, not my, the guy who developed the building. And he realized that he developed the pool where the sun was going to be rising like behind the building, so the sun would get very little, the pool would get very little sun, so he killed himself. So they had that going for themselves, which is just sort of an Aventura kind of way. But the arena they play in is a good hour from Miami, and it's in the middle of nowhere. Now, there's another.
Right, so I assumed, I'm not down there a lot, I assumed it was like just outside Miami. That's what I always assumed this place.
It's, not even
it's
close.
Right by one of the like PGA golf courses that they do tournaments at.
And it's Sawgrass. Inland. It's nowhere near the water. It's inland.
Yes. It's right by Sawgrass, and there's a big mall there. So there's a big mall in this arena in Sawgrass, and then there's nothing. I mean, there's no infrastructure. There's nothing.
The highlight of the night for me was watching Billy Jaffe in between periods, because Jaffe went at the end of the first period. Jaffe was like, "What the building?" I'm paraphrasing. The building sucks. The fans suck. The ice surface sucks. I don't understand why anyone would go to this place. And then after the second period, the Bruins suck. I can't believe they're playing this badly. Boy, he was just all angry for most of the evening.
Well, he's going to be in this morning, so I know. That should be fun.
Yeah.
Well, remember the Florida guy that used to do the movie lines?
Here's the Panthers. Here's Bergenheim. Gets him behind the defense. Goes into the back. And shoots. He scores! Lighten up, Francis!
Yeah.
Right. So he did that, and now apparently he's taken on the Dale Arnold role of being a radio king in Miami. But this is the new Florida goal call guy. And he doesn't do movies, but he's got his own little flavor.
Maneuver off to the near circle in the Panthers zone. Cruises up the near wall, down to our right into the Boston zone. Matheson sidesteps the defender, heads in, a shot, and he scores! In the end, Mike Matheson has given the Panthers a 2-0 lead!
That is coast-to-coast, a little peanut butter, jelly, and toast.
Like, why did you say that?
Come on.
Well, it rhymed. I think that was pretty impressive.
No. First of all, this is not, I don't believe that's something that's said unless it was, in Medicine Hat, Canada in like 1920. Coast to coast, peanut butter and jelly on toast. Like, I have a feeling that doesn't happen very often. So on and on it goes. And the Bruins were terrible. And here is Cassidy after the game, not mincing words.
Clearly not our best. We weren't on time to start. I thought Yarrow was good in the first period, so you'd hope that we'd pick it up in the second. Recognize we got good goaltending to cover up for our mistakes, but it didn't happen. At times it just looked like men against boys out there, and we just weren't up for the challenge tonight.
And Jones, you make the point that things are starting to get away from the Bruins a little bit in terms of the standings.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long Buffalo is going to keep playing like they're playing. They've kind of been the surprise in the Atlantic Division. But, the Bruins have only played 27 games. So most of the teams ahead of them, they have a game in hand or maybe a couple of games in hand. But the Bruins only have 32 points. And that trails Buffalo by 6. That trails Toronto. And they played a great game last night by 8. Tampa won again last night. That trailed them by 11 points already. So they're in playoff position, and I know they don't have everyone. They don't have Chara. They don't have Bergeron. They don't have McAvoy. Like, continue down the list. I don't think that excuses how they played last night. I think you can hear Cassidy's pissed. You should be. Like, you lose a game 2-1 and you're shorthanded against a team on the road. I think we can all understand that. I think it's hard to wrap your head around what happened last night, and now on top of it, they're losing ground in the division.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't even focus on that. I mean, all things considered, Tampa Bay and Toronto are the two best teams in the league at the moment. And you know, Buffalo, of course, playing out of their minds. There's no excuse for last night, but as far as losing ground in the division, well, I'm just hoping this team makes the playoffs as constituted.
Well, but if you're losing ground to Buffalo, that means the only avenue you have is the wild card. Like, if you can't sneak into that number three spot in the Atlantic, then you're losing avenues to get into the playoffs.
It's not about sneaking. It's just about winning games at this point. I mean, any win is a bonus.
No, but this team has to make the playoffs. I mean, this is not a team that's not designed to make the playoffs. I mean, this is a crushing thing for the organization if they don't make the playoffs, regardless of injury. I mean, this is the way the team is built. I mean, young talent around a veteran core. They were the second-best team in the league last year. It's a crushing thing if they don't make the playoffs.
All I'm saying, real quick, Fred, all I'm saying is he's talking about losing ground in the division. I think they're certainly, as constituted, capable of being a wild-card team and maybe a three seed in the division, but that's it. I mean, considering the injuries they have, and there are no guarantees they're ever going to get all of these guys back at full strength, I'm fine if they make the wild card or sneak in to the third spot in the division.
I'm very interested about when Jaffe comes in talking about McAvoy and his not playing. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, I watched the game last night. I've been following an avid Bruins fan here, but I just don't have a good feeling about this season at all. I don't know what's taking so long for the younger kids to pick it up. But you're just not seeing a lot. And, it, you know, you're relying on Pasternak, Bergeron, and Marchand to put the puck on the net. You know, it's just you need more consistency out of more of your lines, and you're not getting it. I don't like the feeling about this year at all.
Well, they were treading water, and they were playing pretty well. I mean, they were, for the young guys in the team, I mean, what did they get, points out of four or five games or something like that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were doing that. And then you have a game like last night against a team that's not very good.
By the way, DeBrusk late for the interview yesterday. It was a -3. See? If you're on time, you score goals. DeBrusk, if you're not on time, don't play well.
DeBrusk, by the way, for some reason thought he was supposed to call in at 9:30. And I think that's why he was so snippy at the end of it.
Oh, did he get? He got a little.
He did. He got a little snippy attitude at the end, yeah.
Yeah, because I said, you're 12 minutes late. And he's like, it's 2 minutes late. And at the end of the interview, I said, all right, well, you know, call in. I can't remember what I said. But and then he's like, well, that's a funny way of saying thank you. Thank you for what?
Oh,
not good.
Thank you for what? What are you, the big shot? Then I told him that I was 22 years older than him. Got to thank some kid for coming on the show.
Whippersnapper.
You got to promote his charity thing, the gift thing that they're doing. Gave him that opportunity. What does he need? He needs more than that? Phil, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So I want them to keep where they are in the wild card position because then they don't have to play the Atlantic Division in the playoffs. All right? If they stay where they are, don't they end up playing the Metropolitan?
Well, it depends.
Yeah. But, it depends.
If you follow the number two wild card, you'd be Tampa. So, I mean, it doesn't guarantee anything, but what's the last three? And I agree, the top of the Atlantic's better than the Metropolitan this year, but the last three Cup champions have come out of that other division, so I don't know that you want to be there either.
Just make it. Just make
it's
the playoffs.
It's an unfortunate time to be the Bruins.
Yeah.
It seems like everyone else is.
The two best teams in the NHL are in your division. And oddly enough, you have to play them back-to-back coming up next. But yeah. It's just the way they're constituted and the way they weren't getting productions from any lines when everyone was healthy. I mean, it just they are what they are with an occasional DeBrusk outburst.
Well, and I don't – I mean, just circling back to what that caller said, and you're talking about the lack of balance, like – what'd you expect? They didn't do anything in the offseason.
Yeah.
Like, what'd you expect? Like, every all the young kids pretty much seemingly hit last year, just about.
Yeah.
You expected that was going to happen again? They were all just magically going to continue on this trajectory where, oh, well, in year one they did this, so year two they should all be incrementally better. Like, that's not the way it works.
But
the fact they did nothing, they took swings at,
I mean, they wanted Tavares, and they've...
Sure,
they took
and swing. Kovalchuk, and then that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but, I mean, who else did you want them to get?
I don't know. I mean, maybe trade for Jeff Skinner, who's second in the NHL or whatever he is in points or goals.
But I don't remember the outcry when Jeff Skinner was traded to Buffalo.
I don't remember the outcry either, but he was available. And he's been really good, and Buffalo's a lot better than you.
But no one expected Jeff Skinner to do this.
That's not the point. The point is filling out obvious holes you had in your roster. If he's better than you thought, then fine.
Well, unfortunately, you're hamstrung with large contracts like David Backus that forces you to play the young guys. This was always the plan. The plan was not to go the Peter Chiarelli route and sign everyone to long-term contracts and then have your team get old suddenly with no way out. The object was to get the young guys, draft well, and ease them in. Now, Anders Bjork has not played well.
Yeah, it's a bad plan. Of course it is,
but what is the alternative?
I just told you, the guy with 20 goals on Buffalo.
But no one thought that was going to happen. Look, you say trade for Jeff Skinner. You would have sat there when they did it and said, what are the Bruins doing? I mean, the way you would have said it was, you really think Jeff Skinner's going to contribute?
Well, yeah, so what? And then I would have been wrong about that. Wouldn't you rather that I was wrong than the Bruins
are
wrong?
All I'm saying is this is a massive second guess. You had no idea this was going
to
happen.
It's not a second guess to say they should have got help for their top six. I didn't really care how they got it.
You didn't think Jeff Skinner was a top six forward?
Of course he's been a top six forward. He's been a top six guy his whole career.
The way he's played in Carolina, you thought he was going to come here and score 30 goals?
I thought he'd be better than Bjork.
Or
Heinen.
All right. By how much? I guess my point is he was a good player. He has not been a good player for Carolina, and you stick him on Buffalo, and everyone expects him to score 30 goals.
He had 37 goals 2 years ago.
Okay. How did he do last year?
25.
Okay, he had 25 goals last year.
I don't know. That's what Dan just told me. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
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 See, that's when Dan cheats.
This is the best. This is the best. You passed it off as your own opinion. That was good.
No, I didn't pass it off. I just told you it was Dan.
I know, but in fairness,
Jones did say it was Dan.
Yeah, I didn't pass
okay.
it off.
Okay, only would challenge. If I didn't challenge
usually
you,
Wally
you would have
doesn't.
Said that.
When I do that, John doesn't say. Yeah. So it's just I'm trying to help him out. 24 goals last year, John. 25 assists.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, 49 points. You got me.
All right. All right. Josh McDaniel was asked about his take on head coaching and any team that would be completely out of their mind to hire him, and we will have that. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Hey, my gosh. Anyway, how was the holiday?
It was fine.
Well, that's cool. So I had a question, though. I got hung up on the other day on the Late Day Show. I'm not going to go names. But do you think the Bruins, with their injuries, playing with, like, bench players...
Train wreck, are you drinking?
Like, no, I'm fine. Hang on.
Liar.
Hear me out.
Are you going to make a joke, or is this...
Last year's Celtics.
Okay, all right, train wreck. Unless you're coming fast and furious with the jokes.
Sound a little under the weather this morning.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like...
yeah,
you,
no.
It's probably the Bush stuff hasn't been broken up,
speed.
I'd imagine.
No. Yeah, yeah. It is a national day of mourning. Yeah.
He's waiting for his mail.
Yeah, I'm the one who's going to get upset about that. John, go ahead.
Guys, I'm not drinking, but I'm going to be taking some antidepressants if I have to listen to Jones for the next 3 hours. It's 6:30 in the morning.
It's 3 hours and 20 minutes.
I'm sorry, Jones. I love you in the evening because I'm already ticked off at the day. But, like, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting ready for work, and I hear John Locke on the other end. He's sitting there trying to be, like, Captain Positivity. Love you, John. But you got the Vulture sitting there like, no, they're never going to make the playoffs. No, this team, this, that. Oh, they should have gotten this guy. Can you take it a little bit easy on the morning show? Thanks, Jones.
Oh, Arcan just sent me one tweet with a smiling emoji. He's so happy. That he doesn't have to deal with this.
I should come in nice and positive after that Bruins game last night.
Yeah, in fairness, that was nothing to be excited about.
I know. Jones is rubbing his hands while sitting and watching the game. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, I was rubbing my hands and looking at something else about 2 minutes into that second period. All right. Josh McDaniels has been rumored to take the job in Green Bay, and I don't know about you, Jones, that we have not discussed this. I, under no circumstances, would hire Josh McDaniels.
No.
I don't think that he gets the respect, especially of Aaron Rodgers, and that he has had no head coaching experience that has been a success. He has basically carried the baggage of Tom Brady. He carried Tom Brady's bags for this whole time. I don't believe he's doing anything particularly innovative. Rich made the point yesterday, well, he's never had a mobile quarterback, and I would say he is Tom Brady. And so that's not something that you would necessarily need, and you don't need a mobile quarterback, obviously, to be innovative. And if you look at the way that the offenses are going right now in the NFL, they're becoming spread offenses, they're becoming more college-like. The way that they use running backs is different, and so on and so forth. And Josh McDaniels has been linked to this Green Bay job. And one of the dumbest reports I read, and that you've seen it too, is that these coaches are turning down coordinator positions in the NCAA.
Yes.
In order to perhaps work with Josh McDaniels in Green Bay. Here is Josh McDaniels. He was on a conference call yesterday. This, by the way, a man who accepted a job in Indianapolis, hired a staff, and then walked away because I truly believe he does not have the confidence to run to coach a NFL team again. I mean, he had everything going for him in Indianapolis. He had had a coach before him who was mediocre at best. He had a quarterback coming off an injury that was could be an elite quarterback, and until last week was playing at that level. And here's Josh McDaniels in that yesterday.
Josh, it's that time of year again. There are some vacancies already in the National Football League. Your name has been brought up. I'm just curious your thoughts on your future, but more importantly, in the now, how do you balance doing your job but also keeping an eye on the future?
I don't really worry about the future, and honestly, each week is a tremendous challenge, and we try to stay in the moment and focus on the task at hand, which this week is obviously considerable, considering that we haven't had a lot of success down there. You know, this is a big challenge for us. I didn't do nearly well enough in my role and my job last year when we went down there to Miami. So there's a lot for us to look at, and a great defense for us to go down there and face, where they play extremely well at home. And all the other stuff is just, you know, it is what it is, and don't really pay too much attention to it. Love what we do here, and in terms of working hard to try to come up with the best plan for our players each week, and that's where my focus is going to remain.
Gosh, just quickly, but your future goal hasn't changed, though. You still want to be a head coach again someday.
If that's in the cards for me, then that's great. I've said that before, and but again, I'm not worried about that right now.
He went full Blossom on the people. Don't care about the future. That's anybody's guess. I need to sit around getting all depressed. Pick up your pen and paper. I'm going to give you peace of my mind. I'm not hiring Josh McDaniels in any way, shape, or form. Why would I hire Josh McDaniels based on his history and what has he done? I mean, and I understand that the McVays of the world are not a dime a dozen, and that the young, innovative coaches of that age that you can swing and miss. But he has proven, A, that he was incapable of personnel decisions and having any kind of success in Denver, despite the fact that Tebow got lucky one game and ran for a touchdown at the end of a Steelers game. And I don't know. He's never had to work with a young quarterback. And don't give me Garoppolo, because I still don't know what Garoppolo is going to do. And Brissett came in and did... You know, he managed a game. He has done nothing to prove to me that he can be a head coach of the NFL.
No. I mean, he's coached under Belichick, and he's coached the greatest quarterback of all time. So, like, how hard is that,
right?
In all honesty? How innovative is anything they do? I wouldn't go near him based on how he handled things last year. It's ridiculous that coaches are turning down gigs based on the idea that, well, Josh gave me his word. He's interested in me working on his staff, so I should listen to him. I just wouldn't go even a step further back from Josh McDaniels. I wouldn't go to the Belichick coaching tree, period. I don't want anyone on the Belichick coaching tree. I know Bill O'Brien's won 9 games in a row. I think he's still in his career, lifetime 4 or 5 games over 500 in his career. In Houston, he's won 1 playoff game, and that was against the Raiders' third-string quarterback. So, like, I'm not going near the Belichick coaching tree because I don't know what any of those guys really do. They all coach under Bill. I don't know how much autonomy they have. I don't know how much they actually do. I think it's hard to figure out. None have truly been successful. So I wouldn't go near McDaniels for that. Never mind all the indie stuff on top of it and his failures in Denver on top of it. I wouldn't want him if I were Green Bay or Cleveland or anywhere.
Well, Patricia has absolutely no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's handling everything as poorly as you can handle it.
whole practicing outside thing still mystifies me. I still haven't gotten a good answer for that.
The way he handles press conferences, the way that he's already lost the team, the way that they're playing.
He lost the team in, like, August.
Yes. They hate him.
That's unbelievable.
They hate him.
And he's gonna... McDaniels lost his team, but it took until, like, year two. This guy's already lost it.
Well, he lost the fan base before the season started.
Yep, yep.
And then he had the audacity to start crapping on the press, mm-hmm. which he has no business doing. So, I mean, so much for Quinn... Taking the ball from Belichick and running with it to how to build a franchise. Yeah, I wouldn't touch him. I'd take McCarthy 1,000 times over. I'd take the coach from Oklahoma.
I'd go to college before I'd go to the Belichick coaching tree.
Well, the thing with Green Bay is that they might be able to get Saban. That's the guy that they might be able to get.
I don't know. He's got it made. Why bother doing that?
We had this argument
yesterday.
That is a dumb move if he leaves college.
I don't think so, because at his age, he's done all he can do in Alabama, and it's a kind of personality. This isn't the Bear Bryant days where, you know, college football was king.
I got it. But, I mean, I think we can both agree. I mean, he was an abject disaster in Miami at the end
so
there.
That's a blotch on his resume. Why not go to Green Bay?
I'll try to correct it.
Yeah, why not go to Green Bay, which is essentially a college town, and work with, and you're going to have the respect of Rodgers. I mean, you would have to imagine. He can go in there and he can swing it around and just say, if you don't like it, you're out. McDaniels can't do that. If I'm Saban and... I want to get that one blotch off my coaching record. I mean, he's going to win the national championship again this year. These guys want challenges.
I know that. It's like an itch they can't scratch, and you're probably right. He'll make himself available, and an NFL team will hire him, and I think it's a gigantic mistake. I think he's like Mike Krzyzewski.
But why?
Roy Williams.
But what's the mistake about it? He'll still be like that. We're not going to look back at his career and be like, well, knock him down a few pegs.
I'm not saying
it's
going to knock his legacy down. What I'm saying is he's going to go to the NFL. He's going to fail. That's my point. That's all.
Okay.
I mean, regardless of how he sees about it,
he's taking a swing. He's got a nice little golden parachute. He'll make millions and millions more dollars.
He's made more money than he can ever possibly spend. Some NFL team will probably give him control of personnel, too. He'll get his opportunity, but he's going to fail again, in my opinion. I don't think he's one of the best college coaches ever, and he's not an NFL coach. He's one of those guys, and he doesn't see it, but he'll probably get offered a job and take it, but I don't think he'll do well.
Well, if I was going to take it, I would take it in Green Bay. All right, Dan Aruski, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back. Daniel, go ahead.
Hey, Fred. Second eggs. I had to call in because I was I missed the start of the show, so apologies for that. I'm pretty much being a former military person, I'm a creature of habit and routine, and when I call in and I hear Adam Jones's voice, it kind of throws me off. So hopefully Rich is okay. You know, the only thing I think that would be worse than having to listen to Adam Jones in the morning is probably listening to Sarge.
Yeah, well, that's the least that you could say. I mean, please. Don't insult the man.
Rich is okay.
Yeah, Rich has got jury duty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, again, we confirmed they're
it's actually happening.
The news, or not the news, the your postal workers have to observe and sit around and remember George H.W. Bush. Judges, no.
Yeah, and then so if you're a postman, you get today off, but then I guess it's a double-edged sword because then you're going to have 5 tons of crap that you have to mail tomorrow.
Yeah, you don't love that.
Because if I'm Rich and they call me last night and they say I don't have jury duty, I mean, I'm not telling anyone.
Nope.
I mean...
Whoops, slept through that call.
Yeah, he would have to be out of his mind to let anyone know. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, so the reason why Belichick's tree doesn't work is because Belichick in itself is a tyrant. And the only reason why he's been successful is because Brady is such a great quarterback. There's times that his greatness overcomes, at times poor coaching. And thus, they're always having winning seasons, so people put up with the crap. But the guys that below him that try to go out and replicate it don't have a Tom Brady to put up with his crap for the betterment of the team to be winners. And so his tree, they do not do well at all. It's like Harbaugh and Saban. They can't do it at the pros, but they can do it at college because you only got the kids for maybe four
Harbaugh Harbaugh did it in the pros. Yeah, he can't do it in college.
He was really good in the pros.
I think, and again, I think Harbaugh has something mentally wrong with him, and I'm not joking. I think that he's got something wrong with him. The way he handles that whole D'Antonio situation is very, very odd. Like, he's sending out, like, hate tweets to him and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Read what he sends to D'Antonio. It's very strange. Yeah, I think Harbaugh's got something wrong with him, and I think that that blows up in about 2 or 3 years. I mean, the way he recruits at Michigan, the fact that he can't win is ridiculous. And you might say, well, you know, he's going to play in a New Year's Day bowl. No. They were the team that was supposed to win the Big Ten. They have not won the Big Ten. They lose to Ohio State every year, and most of the time they lose to Michigan State, who they out-recruit by about 20 places. Yes, John?
Just going back to the caller's point about Belichick. I mean, Belichick has coached a certain way for so long, but the way he does things, he's kind of a dinosaur. I mean, can you treat the modern athletes the way he treats them? I mean, you see coaches now, they're players' coaches, they pat guys on the back. Belichick, the way he does things is so different. Put it this way, if you're Belichick and you're entering the NFL now, does his style work?
No, but he's been adapting a little bit with giving people time off.
A little bit. But overall, right. And you've seen his guys try and replicate it, and it doesn't work.
That's right. Patricia's going to fail because – and then it's another thing, too, is that these guys pick out things in Belichick's personality that aren't there.
Yeah, you saw McDaniels, who's not like Belichick, you know, wear the hoodie at press conferences at Denver, and he won five games and then completely disappeared.
How about Mangini, who sat there and acted like a prick during all the press conferences, and then you see him in ESPN, and he's like – he's able to joke around and have a personality. Why do you think that Belichick acting that, and this is a small thing, but it's the only really insight you can get into these guys a lot of times. Why would you take that aspect of Belichick's personality and go, that's why he wins? He's a prick to the press. Well, I better be a prick to the press or I won't win. You know, there's coaches that have a tremendous amount of success that don't dismiss the press like that. And again, this is an only option because it's what we can see. And it's just such an obvious... It's like Howard Stern was famous because he had naked girls on. And then if I have naked girls on every single day, I'm going to be Howard Stern. No, you're not. That's like one thing out of a million things that the guy did. And the idea that McDaniels is getting credit because Brady likes him is absolutely asinine.
Right. He coached under Bill, and he coached the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
Like, just like Bill O'Brien, just like Charlie Weiss. Like, I don't see how McDaniels is any different. And I don't think either of those two guys were successful either for the same reasons. I don't know how much any of them do.
And you would think that Charlie Weiss would have been the most successful because Charlie Weiss was kind of working with a lump of clay. And then he completely ate himself into a...
He had, a year and a half that was good at Notre Dame?
In some ways, he's pretty successful. He's, like, still getting paid by Notre Dame. I think that just ended, actually. In some ways, he was very successful.
A couple of years ago. That's right.
Wasn't he at Kansas for,
Yes, he was. He was at Kansas for half a second. I think he was the offensive coordinator at Urban Meyer at Florida, wasn't he? At one point?
I think that sounds right,
yeah.
Well, he was just retiring.
Seriously.
happened upon the swamp.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.